I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. You have entered the Liberty First Zone, where liberty is over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite politician. And it is absolutely surreal the way that we simply are walking down this path, repeating history, living in a tyrannical government with a tyrannical society, a society so enslaved they don't even realize it. Your average American family lives a quiet life. They get up in the morning and have their breakfast and their coffee, and they go to work, and they sit in traffic, and they listen to the morning news or the morning radio station, their morning tunes, and they go to work, and they do their job, and they have lunch with their coworkers, and you know, everybody talks about what happened on TV last night, or the soccer game the kids were in, or whatever. And then they come home and grab a bite to eat and run to soccer practice or gymnastics or you know, kickboxing or whatever it is that the family's involved in that evening. And then they come home and watch TV, watch the evening news, and maybe a little television, and then they go to bed. And then they start the whole day over, completely unaware of the increasing level of control that government has on them. Because, you see, their government control has not seeped into their lives. That's why Thomas Jefferson said in the Declaration of Independence that it was after a long train of abuses. You see, there's several truths within that statement. I'm trying to tell you this so you don't get frustrated. Because there are people who awake at different stages of oppression. Those of us who are awake now, there are some that have been awake 30 years waiting for me, you know, looking at me over the last 5 years and thinking, what took you so long, sheeple? I just want you to know there's differing periods of awareness. Jefferson said there must be a long train of abuses and usurpations. Well, guess what? That statement is true, and it says certain things about that that are true within that statement. Number one, there must be a train of abuses and usurpations. A train, a connection of events, that are a series of events that are connected with each other. That's why it's a train and not a car. Because there are separate events that are linked together. A long train of usurpations and abuses. Now, not only that, it's a long train. Why? Because we don't take notice of short trains. Short trains, we sit and watch go by quickly. This train, okay, fine. But when you're at a railroad crossing, and the long train comes by, you begin to wonder at some point, will it ever end? And when you get to the point where you're thinking, holy cow, this is the longest train I have ever seen in my life. Maybe I need to take some action to get around this train. Maybe I don't want to stand, or maybe this train is going to keep going for a very long time, and I'm going to be stuck here. See, it's got to be a long train of abuses and usurpations before we take notice of it. And it's got to be so long a train of abuses and usurpations that we are no longer willing to tolerate the length of it. the inconvenience of it, the usurpation of it. And the real truth of the matter is, in America, the train's not long enough yet. There are still people who have taken no notice. The cars are building in length, make no mistake. It always works this way throughout history. Because governments will always usurp, as long as people will tolerate. And they will keep usurping. It's about pushing the envelope of power, because government always wants more power. Always wants more power. And people forget the value of liberty in their comfort. They forget the fact that they can get up and go to work every morning, and the fact that they can have the toast and the breakfast that they want in the morning, the coffee that they want in the morning. They forget that the fact that they have that job, they have that car to drive in that traffic, that they have the ability to eat the lunch that they choose and speak about the things that they want. They forget that the fact that they can watch the television that they want to watch, and that their kids can engage in soccer and in kickboxing and gymnastics, and then they can come home at their leisure whether they want to or not, and do what they please. They forget that that is based upon liberty and not on the permission of government. They forget that. That is historical truth. People always forget that your child engaging in gymnastics and kickboxing is a matter of liberty and not permission of government. But you see, when the train begins to build, and the usurpations become so obvious and so numerous that people start taking notice. We're taking notice now. But it's going to be a little bit longer. But we need to remember this. We must keep teaching the truth. We must keep shining the light. We must keep speaking, living, breathing liberty first. Because one by one, the prairie dogs are popping out their holes and looking around and saying, "What is that bright light?" They call that bright light liberty. What is that liberty? Wait a minute. That liberty is a natural right. Hey, wait. That liberty is mine. Wait, that liberty is my child's. What is this that is trying to eclipse that light? That's why what we're doing is so important. That's why what we're doing must be done. We must not get discouraged, Patriot, because we are the bright light. And there are those who are trying to eclipse that bright light because they know that light is powerful. And they know what we should know, what we should find as the greatest encouragement available to us. They know this, that there will come a day when their reign of usurpations will end. That is a history that also always repeats. Tyranny always exists. The history of tyranny, the mechanism of tyranny, always repeats in the very same way. But you know what else always repeats? In the very same way. Tyranny always comes to an end. The people always get tired of the usurpations. The people always wake up. And the government always takes too much. And it's a waiting game. It's a waiting game on both sides. They're hoping they can wait us out. They're hoping that they can usurp us to the point of servitude, that this time, the liberty history will not repeat itself. That's what they're hoping on. We can do this in such a subtle way. We can be subtle in our oppression. We can be subtle in our usurpation. We can be so subtle that we can get so many that liberty will not have a chance this time. Because you see, it's about good versus evil. And evil is a subtle beast, more subtle than the serpents in the grass, always, always stealing the rights that have been given to us. The problem is, the story always ends the same way, because the subtle serpent is also arrogant, and with arrogance comes ignorance. And the subtle serpent always goes too far, always gets too greedy, and the light switches on. And people realize, hey, there's a light, and we need to go to it. And the liberty light always wakes the sleeping subject. Always. We just have to wait. We have to wait until the train gets too long. Because, you see, history always repeats. And the encouragement that we have in knowing that history always repeats is that this: people will always stand for liberty. And when they stand, they always win. And when they win big. In our history, we started with a promise of a king in 1100, went through four more liberty charters where the people battling to limit government and increase liberty themselves, till we get to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the greatest human rights statements ever written by men. History repeats. History proves. People will always, at some point, stand to defend liberty, and they always win, and they always win big. It is not a matter of will we stand. It's not a matter of if we stand. It's a matter of when. When? And I just want to ask you a simple question. If not now, when? If not you, who? Well, guess what? If not you, your children. And if there be trouble, let it be in my day, so that my child may have peace.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So the government added another car to the train of usurpations. The FCC adopted net neutrality. And the sheeple are happy about that. They don't understand why that's a bad thing. They think it's a good thing that the government is going to regulate the internet. I laugh, right? Because when has the government ever improved anything through regulation? Government began regulating the telephone industry and killed it. But innovation kicked in and we have the cell phone industry because they killed the regular telephone industry. And, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Government has regulated public television, and that's a great success, isn't it? Great, great successes with government regulation. Government regulating energy, and oh my goodness, what advances we see in public energy, right? No, we see increased fees, increased prices, increased costs, limited innovation, regulated innovation. Government regulating the gun industry has never been a good thing. Government regulating the media has never been a good thing. So we cannot expect good things from the FCC regulating the internet. And let's think about that for a second. Who is the FCC? The FCC, writing law, that regulates the internet. An executive agency elected by no one, exercising a power delegated by no one, passing a law read by no one, ruling your life through fairness? Seriously? And now will all those in the GOP who were fighting against this net neutrality, will they now defund it through Article 1, Section 7? Because you know they can. They're trying to defund amnesty. Why can't they defund FCC? So the budget's already passed for them for this year? Fine. Defund it. Have a special session and defund it. Defund it next year if you don't want to call an extra session. They're not going to do that because it's not about the Constitution for the GOP. It's not about fairness for the GOP. It's all about power of government, and both parties want it. Because I believe, rather amusingly, I believe that the Republicans are fairly certain, if not positive, that it's their turn to have a president in office, and they will have a president, a Republican president, in 2016. And they do not want to limit the executive branch's power, nor do they want to set a precedent that the executive branch can be limited. Because, you see, they know the ebb and flow of government. They know the tit-for-tat. They know that their president will be in office in 2016, which means that the Democrats will likely take the House in 2018, and they don't want their House to control the president, because at that time the House will be the Democrats and the president will be a Republican. I want you to look at how this works, the shifting. I want somebody, can somebody in the Liberty First Brigade go out there, please take a timeline and watch the shift of power in government and how it flips and flops. And when you see how it flips and flops, it's very interesting then also document who is actually the persons in the office, because you will see that there has not been a Republican president in the last 30 years whose last name was not Bush. Let that sink in. There's not been a Republican president in the last 30 years whose last name was not Bush. But watch how the president power shift, and the House shifts, and the Senate shifts, and the majority shift. And you will begin to see the truth. There really is never any change of power. You are in the Matrix, and the Matrix has you. It's time to wake up. It's time to unplug.
My mom always said I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
The Mises Institution has an amazingly great article on net neutrality. I'm going to post it on my Facebook page today so you can understand what this is about. And it was published yesterday by Ryan McMakin, and it is a very, very good article. It says, yet again, the government wants to fix a problem that doesn't exist. According to the Obama administration and the FCC, it is necessary to regulate internet service providers so they don't interfere with people's access to the web. The claim immediately prompts one to ask, who is being denied access to the web? In the past 20 years, access to the Internet has only become more widespread, and service today is far faster for many people, including ordinary people, than it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. Today, broadband in Europe, where the Internet is more tightly regulated, has less reach than it has in the United States. European regulation of the Internet has less reach than in the United States, where there has been no regulation. Now, you know, they always pass these bills, and they always call them net neutrality. But, you know, the real thing is there's nothing neutral about it. It is just simply a scheme to increase the government's control over the Internet. Now, we don't know the details about the regulation that was just passed because they won't let us see the 300-page proposal before it was voted on, and I'm pretty certain that even after it's passed, we won't be able to see all of it because somebody's going to hop up and say, well, it's a matter of national security. We have some security measures in there, and you can't see all of it. But guess who did see it? Google. Right? Google reviewed it. We can't, but Google can. Maybe that should give you the real information on who Google is, right? Who is Google? Well, they can see legislation that the people can't. They have a security clearance that we don't. The FCC wants to regulate ISPs as utilities under Title II restrictions. And Mises says, for a clue as to how cutting-edge this idea is, remember the switch to Title II regulation would put ISPs in the same regulatory regime as Ma Bell under the Communications Act of 1934. So, what does this mean for the FCC? According to the FCC commissioner, who was opposed to this regulation, it gives the FCC power to micromanage virtually every aspect of how the Internet works. Isn't that awesome? Do you know what happens when the government regulates ISPs as utilities? Well, a utility, they have determined, is something that everybody must have. So now we will have a right to the Internet. And then we must make the right equal for all people, whether they can afford it or not. So we will be collecting taxes through this utility, which means the fees for using the Internet will go up because we will have to collect taxes so that we can make sure that everybody who can have the Internet who can't afford the Internet. And so it'll be a redistribution of the Internet, a socialism of Internet. And so the fees will go up, and we are going to be allocating the Internet now in a neutral way. Mises points out there is no such thing as a neutral allocation of resources when the government is doing it. The marketplace, goods and services tend to be allocated according to those who demand the goods the most. Where the demand is the highest, the prices are the highest, so goods and services tend to go where they are most demanded. And this is the way prosperity works and liberty works. And according to Mises, this makes perfect sense, of course, and it also reflects the inherent free market society. When large numbers of people put more resources where more goods and services will come. And this is the market and the mechanism that drives food, clothing, and other things in a free market society. This is how the innovation of the Internet has been building. This is why we have a better system than Europe. Because industries have a way, an incentive to improve services to people who want their services. And then they can collect the cost of those services from those who are willing to pay it. But that doesn't work. If governments were to tell grocery stores to start being more neutral about where it places goods, you can see that that's impossible. Somebody's goods have to be at eye level or near the front of the store. Who decides? A handful of government bureaucrats. And who's going to be more successful in deciding what people want? A handful of government bureaucrats or the consumers who want it? Bandwidth varies for various ISP clients depending on the infrastructure available and the resources available to each client. Yet, in spite of administration's fear-mongering that ISPs will lock out clients of humble means and the need to hand all bandwidth over plutocrats, Internet access continues to expand. Why? Have grocery stores stopped carrying low-priced nutritious foods like bananas and oatmeal just because Nabisco pays for better product placement for its processed food? No. We cannot have the government controlling this aspect of our life because they will get it wrong. We have to learn that government regulation kills innovation and kills industry. There is no regulatory agency that operates efficiently. There is no regulatory agency that operates fairly. I'll remind you that it's the government that issues waivers to those large corporations based on their lobbying and the money that they pay. Isn't that interesting? Because, you see, the government says they have to regulate this stuff so that we can have better access to it when the free market system based on supply and demand doesn't work. But in reality, the free market system is still working even when the government regulates it. So what they do is they regulate it out of the hands of you and me. But those with the most money and the most power can still have exactly what they want. Because it's not a matter anymore of purchasing in a free market. It's a matter of paying off the government. I'll remind you that John Boehner admits that they hand out checks on the House floor from lobbyists. Lobbyists who are in direct receipt of actions from the House. Direct benefit of legislation. So we're going to hand out checks on the House floor right before we're about to pass legislation that will benefit those who are writing the checks. See, that's how this works. This is not about regulating and making it fair. It's about control by the government so that they can have a monopoly on the profits. A monopoly on the profits, yeah, that's how that works. The government gets a monopoly on the profits. Why? Because they can now regulate it as a utility and charge you fees. They can collect all the money from you. All the money from this now comes to the government. And they collect all the money from the industries with licensing fees. And they collect all the money from the investors, now called lobbyists. And so government regulation is never about fairness. Government regulation is about creating government monopolies. And I just have to remind you what James Madison said again, that it is not, I'm quoting, that it is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizen that free use of their resources and free choice of their occupations, which not only constitutes their property in the general sense of the word, but the means of acquiring property. What must be the spirit of legislation where the manufacturer of a linen cloth is forbidden to bury his own child in a linen shroud in order to favor his neighbor who manufactures a woolen cloth? Or where manufacturer and wearer of woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of that material in favor of the manufacturer of buttons of other materials. It is not a just government where arbitrary restrictions and exemptions and monopolies deny its citizens a free use of their resources. You do not have a just government, America. You have a regulatory government. And its power is arbitrary. Why? It can't be anything but arbitrary, because the FCC is adopting these regulations, and you didn't vote for them. Arbitrary power is the government creating its own regulations based on its own personal interest without any limitations by anyone or anything. The FCC dancing because they created a regulation that increases their monopoly, increases their power, increases their income. A law passed by no one you voted for. A law read by no one you voted for. A law that increases power to the government. A power that has been delegated by no one. You cannot find in historical or truth or fact any delegation of power to the federal government to control the internet. It's not possible. Unless you, of course, misinterpret the Commerce Clause and the Tax and Spending Clause and the General Welfare Clauses. Those are clauses, not powers. But you see, we have an unlimited government who creates its own rules, expands its own power, and increases its own wealth. That is not a republic.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's liberty's lobbyist. Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So history repeats. And here we are. Because it's the very same thing that happened when we were forming as a newly formed states and newly formed union. This is going to end free speech, this FCC thing. The same thing that Governor Gage did to the colonists to silence their dissent. We're going to pass a law that says that you can have one public meeting a year, and the only way you can have that public meeting is to get permission from me. Isn't that crazy? That's what Governor Gage did. No more public meetings unless you get a permit from me. And I'm only issuing one permit a year, and the permit's going to go to whomever I choose. That's what regulation is about. It's about choosing who gets to speak and who doesn't. Who gets a license to operate this utility and who doesn't? Wouldn't it be nice if electricity was not a monopoly, and you actually had a choice between different companies to choose from? No, you don't have a choice because the government regulates electricity and the government has arbitrarily created monopolies. So you only have one electric vendor. It's not like you can go to McDonald's or Burger King because guess what? We don't regulate food. We don't license food like that yet. I mean, you have to have food license, but they haven't made it so hard that it's a monopoly yet. That'll come through the Food Safety Modernization Act. That'll come through the Affordable Care Act. It's coming. Make no mistake, history will repeat, it's coming. But it's these arbitrary assignments of monopolies that enslave us. You are a slave to the electric company. As a matter of fact, we reported on a story not too long ago about how a woman in Florida who created a home completely off the grid, she has her own water and her own electricity, and the city fined her and threw her in jail for refusing to live on the grid. Because it's an arbitrary monopoly. You can't choose that. That's an essential part of self-preservation. You can't choose where you get that from. You must be a subject to the government. Now, the next thing Gage is going to do, besides limiting the number of meetings, he did this in 1774, passed a law that forbid any town meetings without his approval, and only illegally allowing one town meeting a year. The next thing Gage is going to do, and now that was May of 1774. The next thing Gage is going to do on the early morning of September 1st, 1774, is he's going to take control of the people by seizing their ammunition. Gage was told by the king, because the people didn't sit back and obey Gage's law that you can only have one meeting per year. As a matter of fact, they immediately threw together a display, an assembly of over 3,000 armed colonists to protest Gage's limitation on their assemblies. Gage was told by the king, get your colonists under control. But Gage responded to the king and said, I don't have the power to get these colonists under control because they outnumber me and they outarm me. But Gage's solution would be not to go door to door and seize the guns, but on the early morning of September 1st, 1774, Gage's troops, through quiet movement, would seize hundreds of barrels of gunpowder from the Charleston Powder House. So you don't seize their arms, you just seize their ammunition. That's the next step. Oh, wait, that's already happening. Obama is going to stop the sale of ammunition. The same thing the king and Gage did. History repeats. And you'll have to tune in on Sunday and find out about that history. God bless. See you tomorrow.